You're listening to a Sonoma County original, The Drive with Steve Jackson, on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
It is Justice Gone Wild with attorney Michael Fiumara on The Drive. We do it every Monday. The Stingray surveillance. Okay, let me read this. The Sacramento County Sheriff's Department has admitted that it possesses and uses a controversial cell phone surveillance tool currently at the center of several legal debates across the country. Now, obviously, if Sacramento is doing this, there are other areas and other jurisdictions who are involved with this or have this surveillance technology. Can you explain how this works, first off?
First of all, I agree with you, no doubt. It's probably being used elsewhere. It's just that they were caught red-handed using it, and then it's lucky they have KXTV, just like we have KSRO, who's monitoring some of the things going on out there. But in any event, what they do is they force, it's a fake tower. It's Stingray acts as a fake cell phone tower, which forces every cell phone message within a certain radius to connect to it instead of a legitimate tower. So when you're passing along your on your phone or by this tower, law enforcement officials get for their money the tracking and locating your device, and they can really lead that, which leads to them figuring out what your messages are. And when they're looking for someone they say is a suspected criminal, they're catching everybody. It's almost like a dragnet. And what really bothers people is that it's not for any specific purpose. There's no warrant. There's no reason for them to do this except to just troll, like trolling for fish in the great ocean. That's sick.
So it's like if somebody, this thing is a cell site simulator that the Sacramento County Sheriff Scott Jones acknowledged they possess this cell site simulator, quote, used to locate a person's known cellular device. But you're right, there's no warrants involved.
Exactly, I didn't say that, there's none.
And so what, they're checking out people's conversations while they're driving in their car just to see if someone's setting up a drug deal or something?
A drug deal or, they say, any sort of terroristic act.
That's the excuse they always use.
Yeah. It's a subterfuge. It's a pretense. They said that they dealt with Homeland Security, and these Homeland Security military weapons are those that are used for anti-terrorism. But we know that's a falsehood.
This does not sound legal.
No, it's not. It's a spy device. There's nothing less that we can call it. It's something that should be illegal, and certain courts have actually ruled and have stated they need a warrant, and they also need to get prior permission from the judicial branch, because the executive branch has no right to just go out there and spy on all of us Americans who are conducting our lives as we see fit.
So KXTV, which is a Sacramento TV station,
yeah,
broke this story, and they're working on this, but they're not getting far with the Sacramento County Sheriff's Department.
No, they're being stonewalled. In fact, one face of Mr. Scott Jones says, "Oh, you know what? We have to use this for the public. We're protecting the public. You know, when there's a child that's abducted, we're using it." But on the other hand, they're not showing any documentation or proof that it's being used according to the law or there's any warrants. In fact, there were no warrants ever taken out, not warrants, but there's nothing that they've done to prove that they've actually done what they need to do in going through the judicial process. They have to actually get permission from a judge. They're not doing it. So
what's going to happen in this situation? I mean, can someone sue? Is the government, the county, the city, the feds get involved? How does this work?
I don't think the feds are going to get involved, because they're the ones that...
This is probably being used all over the country, though.
It is. It's just that we're finding it being exposed in a city where the television station is doing its homework, the free press. That's why we're supposed to have a free independent press. Many times they're sort of rubber stamped or afraid to do anything. In fact, this radio television show was not given any information by the sheriff's department. They were blacklisted, so they weren't getting what they usually had gotten in terms of public announcements. So you get punished when you tell the truth. You get singled out, and that's what was happening with this television station.
The reporter from KXTV confronted the sheriff at a public event to ask questions about the department's use of this surveillance data. The sheriff refused to answer the guy's questions. He instead blasted the station for its, quote, excessive badgering on the issue, and then walked away.
No doubt. I mean,
but he says, the sheriff says it's used pursuant to and in full compliance with the law.
But then he refuses.
This is what I don't
understand. Right. Then he refuses to give any of the full compliance, the code, the section, the judge's permission or any warrant or anything else. He doesn't give anything to document the fact that it's something that they went to do through public records or anything else. So really, they're not telling the truth, and unfortunately they're continuing to do this, and I don't see where it can stop unless a judge or the judiciary steps in. It's that simple. That's why we have to have a very strong and equal judiciary, and we sometimes don't, because they're elected and they're sometimes muzzled while the executive branch can speak out and say things. And that just happened recently in a case where Jill Ravitch said that she didn't agree with a decision, that the judge made a very lenient decision in a case, and so the judge can't say anything on his or her behalf. It was Judge Thistlewaite. She can't, because she's sort of muzzled because of the canon, the rules of professional conduct for judges. It doesn't work the same for the executive branch. There's already a disconnect and unequalness.
You're talking about the super light sentence given to Scott Gurie?
That's one of them.
I've known him for 28 years.
Yeah, but
he was on this show once, the Accordion Festival. Yeah, well, it was a super light sentence, in my opinion. But
well, even if it's that way, and even if it's so, really, the executive
branch, with Jill Ravitch.
Well, in that case, but I'm thinking about another case where the guy did not do prison. In fact, it was something. I can't remember the case because I always have that dog case in mind with the. And you don't want to hear about dogs being
no.
Yeah, so. It's a different case, but I hope you only agree on
that. Thank you for treating it lightly. I can't handle any kind of animal abuse kind of things.
Oh, I agree. I hear you on that.
The Press Democrat on New Year's Day, top of the fold, the front page headline, New Year brings many new laws to the state. Now, we talked about a lot of these last week.
Oh, we did.
But is there something else you wanted
to
bring up?
Yeah, there's one law that I think is a good law that California, you know, leads the nation again. It becomes the first state in our country to compel colleges and universities to require active consent for sexual encounters. And that is a shift away from the old adage where, oh, no is no. What's no? No, I don't know. Instead, now, most refer to this law as yes means yes. In a shift away from the refrain from no means no, the new definition of consent under this law requires an affirmative and very conscientious and voluntary agreement to engage in sexual activity. So people who want to have sex on college campus, both of them have to say yes. And I would, if, as their attorney, say, hey, you know, in your pocket, have a little, have a little bit of an agreement or some sort of.
What do we have to sign paperwork
I'm afraid that's what I would recommend. You have
really?
To sign an agreement that this is what you want, this is what's going to happen, and maybe it should be in writing. Maybe do it on the iPad or something.
How romantic.
It's not. It's just what it is.
Luckily, I haven't had sex in 30 years, so I don't have to worry about it. One of these, you had highlighted this, the DMV has hired an additional 900 employees across the state. They've opened four new regional centers to process just first-time driver's licenses. They've extended weekday hours. They're now open on Saturday, including in Santa Rosa and Napa. And this is something that they've been preparing for a year due to the new law that took effect on the 2nd. And we talked to Jesus Guzman from the Great and Day Labor Center today about this. And as I said, he said a tip of the hat to the DMV. They've spent a year preparing, and they're doing a pretty good job.
Well, they need to do that. Otherwise, if anybody else wants to go in for just an ordinary license renewal or whatever, there you might have to wait 6 months.
I told you. Well, no, I called just before mine expired in December and expecting to get in a couple days.
And you got in a couple of days?
No. My appointment is January 20th.
That's what I thought, right?
It was almost, it's a month since I, more than a month. So the wait is more than a month just to renew a license.
But don't you like the fact that they've extended the weekday hours at 14 field offices
and
Saturday?
Places in L.A., like L.A. and San Jose, they've opened new offices strictly just to deal with the influx.
As
I think
should.
That's great.
And they're going to make a lot of money. Think of this.
The state will make a lot of money.
Yeah, they will. Yeah. Have we calculated? It's going to be in the tens of billions. And maybe that'll fix some of the roads, put some better lighting on the streets, maybe some reflective paint so we can see at night. So when we're driving, like everyone's driving up the pike now, we have a better, safer journey home. We make it home. So that's a good thing.
You also highlighted a new law that makes it easier for local governments to revoke the license of any massage parlor in an effort to curtail prostitution.
Yeah, anything with sex, I had to emphasize, like I did with that consent law, because it makes the most sense. I think people, sex sells, and people want to know about why, what's a good power that the government has. And one of the good powers would be to regulate prostitution and massage parlors. And we represented a massage parlor once, and they came down really hard on them because they were suspected, only suspected of prostitution.
They couldn't prove that there was sex going on?
No, and yet it was closed.
So, really?
Yeah. It's because I think we're really an uptight society when it comes to sex and sexual outlets. Europe, I mean, they have, they have sex
Amsterdam
clubs right next to the churches, even in Italy and Spain especially. This country is extremely uptight, and that's an outlet for people. Not everybody's married, not everybody's in a monogamous relationship or a relationship at all. So, you know, get over it. That's what I say. But maybe most conservative listeners are saying, wow, that's terrible. I'm going to go to hell, but I hope not. No, I might have more fun there.
We'll be back with Michael Fumara, Justice Gone Wild, after one more look at traffic. Michael?
Now, more of The Drive with Steve Jackson on Sonoma County's News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
All right, Justice Gone Wild with attorney Michael Fumara. How many years again have you been in Sonoma County?
Since 1992 is when our firm opened its doors, and we expanded into Marin last year, actually 5 years ago in Marin.
Wow. I'm sure I've asked you this over the weeks and such, but I don't remember. What landed you in Sonoma County from New York?
Well, it wasn't the depleting groundwater that was a new law or anything like that. It was something to do with its beautiful climate. And
how did you find out about it?
Well,
were you just traveling?
No. I've known Dr. Gordon Larson and his family actually before I moved up here. And they said, you know what, you should come up here, maybe open up your practice instead of the city, San Francisco, because I was studying for the bar exam. And so I studied for the bar exam and got a job with the city of Santa Rosa City Schools. And I was the outreach leader in the Latino community because I speak Spanish. And all of a sudden I passed the bar and I had a whole new entree, all these clients, teachers, and in fact, we got the CTA contract. It was one thing led to another, and the practice just boomed after that. So I stayed because I love it here. It's gorgeous.
You referenced to me a letter to the editor from the Press Democrat, which I read every morning. I love the letters to the editor. And the editorial director, Jim Gullickson, is a good friend of this show and a Drive Hall of Famer. We have him on all the time. But Jim Lobdell of Santa Rosa wrote this. He's talking, it was called Roots of Protest. Protests in the streets are nothing new to those who have been through anti-war, anti-establishment, pro-civil rights, women's rights, gay rights, Occupy, etc. So protests about unfair police tactics towards people of color doesn't surprise us, although its sustainability over nearly 5 months does. Then you highlighted this section, but there's a deep-seated resentment in our country today toward all authority of figures because most of our supposed public servants have sold out to big money and no longer care about serving and protecting the average person, politicians, i.e.
And bureaucrats that work for them. Yeah.
More than 46 million Americans live in poverty. The majority are people of color, and those in power won't help them. Don't seem to care, and that causes resentment, which leads to protests. Talk some more about that.
That hit a nerve for me because I really, in all seriousness, I don't even know this Jim Lobdell, but I thought he hit the hammer right on the head.
The nail on the head.
The hammer, okay, the nail, that's good. He really hit the mark, I thought, because resentment is, I have to change things. The mark here is that there is a great deal of resentment. There's a lot of inequality. There's a lot of haves and have-nots, and it's been getting much worse. It's been accelerated, and the police are the ones that are, they get the dirty end of the stick sometimes because they're the authority that's enforcing all the bad laws, the bad policies, the bad everything that people are resentful about. And so they do get a lot of dirt, you know, thrown at them, but they also are there getting militarized and getting to the point where they're using weapons of mass destruction, it seems, with the tanks and all the things they receive from the feds. And then there's this anger, real deep-seated anger, because there are 46 million Americans, I think it's more, that live in poverty. And then there's all this wealth and prosperity, and the stock market's always going up to new highs, and people are driving, Lamborghinis and this and that. And there is resentment. There's a lot of it, and there's a lot of anger. I mean, you see it with people ripping down statues and breaking trees in San Francisco and defacing buildings. There's deep-seated anger, and it's ugly, and it's a real cause for concern. And I think that we can do something about that. But as he says, something must be done. And he says, if we decrease wealth and income inequality, the resentment will also decrease, perhaps even disappear. I certainly hope so. I think that other societies don't have this extreme resentment and hate. If you go to France or you go to Northern Europe especially, there is equality that speaks to everybody, and everybody gets health care. Everybody is treated with respect and dignity. You don't have to fight for every single thing you get. And in this country, you do, and it's really sad because I think that the minority populations feel that they're being violated day in and day out. So I think he hit the nerve.
I noticed that when I read it. I felt the same way. Attorney Michael Fumara, his law firm in Sonoma County in Marin, headquartered right here in Santa Rosa, Fumara.com, right?
Yeah, and we actually serve everybody, the whole North Bay, Mendocino as well, mm-hmm. Napa. We make appearances. We have been for many years, Solano County, even Alameda County. And we have a few cases in San Francisco because I lived there for a year and a half before moving up here. And so I met quite a few people. I was involved in politics there. So
All right. Well, always a pleasure. Happy New Year.
All right,
we'll
happy
see
New
you
Year.
Next Monday.
Thank
buddy.
You. See you soon.
All right, folks, have a great Monday night. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Tuesday, on The Drive.
Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO, KSRO and K27.